Welcome to Soundprint. I'm Lisa Simeone. Lots of little kids dream of becoming sports stars. They either want to play Major League Baseball or football or basketball or soccer or hockey or whatever. The fields and arenas and stadiums of America are full of children hoping they'll be the next big thing. I confess, this isn't a dream I've ever had. I don't really understand the impulse to get your body banged and pummeled, which is what some sports require. And I have no cutthroat competitive streak where I just have to be the best at some physical activity. But clearly, this is a drive many people do have, and they'll work long hours, endure punishing workouts, and spill a lot of sweat to make their dreams come true. It's a different world, and one that producers Gemma Hooley and Chris Nelson set off to explore. They immersed themselves in a season of ice hockey, a sport that can only be called brutal. There they found two players willing to share their audio diaries. Both played for an NHL team, the Washington, D.C. Capitals. This is a story of one season, two players, and what it takes to make it in the game. It's called Hockey Diaries, Ready to Play.
I get sick and tired of saying, oh yeah, there's always next year. That is getting old already. 4 years without a title, and I just want to win one. I get sick of people walking away with the trophy, and it's not our guys.
Brooks Like is just 25, but in hockey years, this makes him a veteran.
I remember the first paycheck I got. I just looked at the sum on the paycheck, and I'd been playing hockey since I was 2 years old, and I was 19 at that time. I'd been playing for 17 years and then never got paid diddly for it. And I remember the feeling. I swear, I'm not making this up. I remember the feeling, and I thought, I got to give this back. That's too much.
Hello, hello. Check one, two. I hope this is working.
19-year-old rookie Carl Alsner packs his bags for training camp with mixed emotions.
Hi, it's Sunday, September 7th. 12:30 a.m. Gotta get everything ready to go because I'm heading on a plane in a few hours to Washington. Sad day today because I have to say bye to my girlfriend of it'll be 2 years pretty soon here, so she's sad, and it'll be a tough goodbye, but she understands, and she's very, very excited for me to get this opportunity. So get a couple hours of sleep and head on to Washington. See ya.
Alsner comes into camp chasing a goal he wrote down on paper when he was a kid.
It's just a regular 8x11 piece of paper. Yeah, blue paper, black Sharpie, underlined. Will is underlined two or three times. Yeah, that's my favorite.
The sign in round kid handwriting says, I will make the NHL. His mother Karen keeps it right where he pinned it on his bedroom wall, next to his hockey posters and junior trophies.
He was the one that, you know, he would get up early. Like some kids, you have to wake him and come on, come on. And he'd want to be the first one at the rink. And Mom, I'm not good that way. I'm not the first one. But he likes to be first.
Go, go, go!
At camp, Washington Capitals head coach Bruce Boudreau drills the rookies to exhaustion.
Let's get the drill right. Let's go.
Some go down on all fours. Others glide around in circles doubled over. Alsner leans a little on his stick. But he stays upright. He has the posture of a four-star general.
I don't like to bend over. I don't like to, if I don't have to, go down on one knee. Just try and keep my body straight so I think that I'm getting more air in and it's a little bit better for me. But at the same time, I never usually like to show any sort of weakness. If I'm tired, I like to hide it.
Training camp is also a proving ground for veterans. Black has arrived for his fourth full season in Washington, D.C., with a no-nonsense buzz cut and a new deal.
In my situation, I was just signed this summer to a new 3-year contract. So I want to come in and prove that management hasn't made a mistake, that I'm worth the money that they gave me. Now I'm battling to try and improve my position on the team, whereas before I was battling to just get on the team. So I remember when I was a young kid just getting to camp and you're looking around and seeing NHL players for the first time and you're kind of a deer in the headlights.
Physically, it's different. Lots of guys, not only they're strong in the gym, but they got what I always call man strength because their whole body is strong. They know how to use it. They can just anchor themselves into the ice. And if you're not strong enough to push them over, then you just got to wait for them to turn around.
Carl's very smooth. In young guys, you kind of look for, one of the big things you look for is poise. It's called poise. It means they have ice running through their veins kind of thing. And Carl out on the ice is very calm. He's not panicking with the puck. He's just in good, solid position. And that means he's kind of matured past his age.
But performance alone will not be enough for Olsner. He's also up against the mathematics of the NHL salary cap. No room on the payroll means no room on the bench. At the end of camp, he's bombarded by reporters.
Have they communicated anything to you yet?
I know absolutely nothing.
Any indication?
No indication. I wish so bad.
You likely won't sleep that well tonight, then.
Yeah, tonight will be a little bit tough. I might have to call some of my buddies for a couple tips.
Good morning. It's Monday, October 6th. My checkout date of the hotel. Little nervous this morning because we're going to go to the rink and see, well, hopefully see what's going on and find out in about half an hour here if I'm going to stick around. So wish me luck.
All morning long, Olsner avoids eye contact with the coaches. He plays ping pong to kill time. Then just before lunch, Coach Boudreau waves Olsner into his office. The news is not what he wanted to hear. For now, he has not made the team.
I was just listening and saying, okay, there was not too much for me to say. It's not like I was gonna pour my heart out or say anything negative or ask a bunch of questions.
After the meeting, Olsner checks out of the hotel and sets his GPS for Hershey, Pennsylvania. This is the home of the Capitals' development team, the Hershey Bears. And now it's Olsner's new home for the season. He makes phone calls as he drives.
I'm going to be optimistic the entire year. There's a lot of things that go on during the season and don't want to wish injury on anybody, of course, but that'll be the opportunity for me to jump in and try and prove a point.
For opening night in Washington, Lack's family makes the trek from Canada to see him play. His grandmother, Joyce Clary, bundles up to sit in the stands.
This is the first time I've ever been here, so it's totally awesome. I never dreamt in a gazillion years that I would watch a grandson playing NHL hockey. He's still supposed to be this little guy that ran around my kitchen, you know, and pulled my cat's tail.
In the locker room after the game, Lack's casual about having ice bags shrink-wrapped to his ribs, a leg, and an arm.
Sounds weird, but you feel good. You feel like you paid the price to win, and in the morning I'm not going to be so happy about it. But we did the right things to win tonight, and we like physical games. They're fun to watch, they're fun to be a part of, and it gets the emotions in it. So there'll be plenty more of those and plenty more ice bags.
Hey, it's Sunday, October 12th. Today's the first official day that we're moving into our apartment here in Hershey. Got to pick up some hangers because I got clothes all over the place right now. But I'll make sure that things are neat so that I can we can have some visitors, make sure it smells nice in there. And yeah, that's about it. So, all right, see ya.
At the top of Olsner's checklist, above the hangers and the bleach, right at the top of the list is rethinking parts of his game, changing up his strategies. He has to train his 205-pound, 6-foot-2-inch body to deal with high-speed impact.
You know, I've never been hit as much as I was the first two games that we played in Wilkes-Barre and Norfolk. It just seemed like it's going to be a long season if I don't figure out how to protect myself better. So you just come in at angles and keep your feet moving, because I know if I dump the puck in and I see a defenseman go straight in, I'm going to just try and smoke him.
The Hershey Bears are in a bus league, which means long hours on the road during their 80-game season. Olsner packs his favorite go-to sandwiches, peanut butter and banana. 30,000 feet up, it's a different story for Lack and the Washington Capitals.
Okay, I'm sitting on our plane with my seatmate, Mr. Mike Green. In case you didn't know, we travel by charter jet. So tell me about our little system here. What goes on in our little section?
We usually like to grab a snack before we sit down. Usually maybe a fruit plate or something, and then we usually sit down and get our MacBooks out. Usually we start off with maybe a couple music videos or something, and then once we take off and get in the air, we usually both settle down into a nice movie.
Yeah, sometimes what happens in the air? Sometimes you fall asleep, eh? After games, tired?
Yeah, sometimes a little tired and we fall asleep, and then, you know, when you're about to land, the computer goes flying. Usually we wake up with our laptops on the floor.
Okay, there you have it.
We're just about to take off. The captain's yelling at everybody to take their seats. So we'll catch in with you later. See ya.
Lack is in high spirits in the early season. The Capitals are winning, tickets to home games are hot, and local bars are full of fans and team red. The locker room is jumping with adrenaline and dance music. But that part is different after a loss. In the room, there's only the hum of electric fans on sweat-drenched jerseys, and Brooks Lack is subdued.
I don't care what you say about talents and everything, this game's about heart. And the team that works the hardest usually is a team that's going to win, and tonight I think they wanted it more, which is not an easy thing for us to sit here and say. But there's no excuses in here. We have to look at each other. Like, I'm not blaming anyone else on the team. I took two bad penalties tonight. I didn't do my job tonight. I have to blame myself and then just make sure that tomorrow I'm better and then be prepared for Thursday's game.
Ready? You want to go? You want to start this? Down here! Two at a time, up the middle here. Let's get 10 passes in. Let's go!
After a loss, Coach Boudreau's practices are about tough drills and straight talk.
Go, attack them! Attack them! That's it! That's it! Stay with them now! Pull out, Brooksy! Pull out! Don't let them out! Hey, just to let you know that was the first one done right. Okay, let's go.
Bruce doesn't give us much of a leash when it comes to practice. He wants things done right and wants things done his way, and after that it just becomes a routine.
A few days before Thanksgiving, Olsner is shopping for fishing gear in a mall near Hershey when his cell phone rings. It's the news he's been pretending not to expect.
As soon as I got the call, I was going fast because I didn't want to waste any time. I didn't even pack things in my suitcase. I just taped all my hangers together with my clothes on them and threw them in.
Olsner, his visiting girlfriend, and their wiener puppy Murphy make the two-hour drive to Washington. Olsner sings Christmas songs behind the wheel and dictates a flurry of text messages for all his friends.
16 years of playing hockey and then finally just call up one day and play the next day. So it's crazy. I think the moment it sunk in was when we came out for the beginning of the game and there was fans leaning over the tunnel and yelling and seemed so pumped up, and when we got on the ice and like it was loud, like really, really loud.
I was so happy for him, proud of him. He's 20 years old, he dreamed about it for 20 years. And you know back home your parents are watching, every friend you have is watching. When he was standing on the blue line there before the opening faceoff, I skated by him and just said, have some fun, kid. It's, you know, get used to this. It's a lot of fun.
Although Olsner had imagined this night 1,000 times, the one detail he had overlooked was the nerves. Also on the bench, number
47. It was there the entire game, and I couldn't get rid of it no matter what. It was just when you see in movies guys going to throw up before games, I thought it was just like, how do you do that? But that's exactly what it felt like, and I didn't end up throwing up, but I was really, really close.
Nerves are good. I mean, that's a good sign. When a player's really nervous, he's usually more focused on tip of his toes all the time, wanting to do the right thing, and Carl played that way.
Brooks Lack came into the season determined to show two things. He's willing to crash the net to score goals, and he's willing to sacrifice his body to 90-mile-an-hour pucks to block them.
Slap shot by Vallin, a sliding block that time by Brooks Lack, and Brooks Lack having some trouble here, can't put any weight at all on his right leg.
It's kind of a code in hockey that you don't lay on the ice. It makes you kind of look like a wussy a little bit. And something I've always tried to do is if you're hurt or something, get off the ice and let the game continue.
Trying to get himself back into the action, now sort of helpless, and Brooks Lack made the play. What guts by Brooks Lack, Ken. That's the type of player he is.
I think I said a few profanities back there. But I just thought, walked up and down the hall a little bit, leaning on the stick a little bit, and just tried to shake it off and get the feeling to come back into the leg and the foot. And then once it did, was able to go back to the bench and luckily didn't miss a shift.
Yeah, well, it was a great block. I mean, it just showed courage. But to try and fight to get up and still knock the puck out of the zone and get to the bench, those are courageous, courageous moments.
In a road game in late November, Lack is on the ice when a teammate breaks a stick. Lack hands his own stick over to him, then turns to face the firing line.
Stole! blocked by Leik without his stick. He made the shot block with his hand, and it took a bite out of that left paw. Stoll didn't get it through. Excellent job by Leik. Brown waiting. Bodies flying. Stoll fires.
Ouch.
Blocked again. How many can Brooks Leik take in the hands and body? Clark working the wing. Leik comes woozily back to the bench.
After the game, you ice it down, and you're okay still. You're hurting, but then you wake up in the morning, and you're like, oh, my God, what happened to me last night?
Merry Christmas. It is the big day, the 25th, and me and Sean are now going to IHOP for Christmas breakfast at, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But I'm happy that Christmas is here. It's always so much fun and great atmosphere. So I will enjoy my day and just relax and rest. See ya.
General Manager George McPhee invites Olsner and the other Hershey call-ups to his house for Christmas dinner. Despite Olsner's poise under pressure on the ice, once in a while there are these little reminders that he's still just barely 20.
You know what? Hopefully he doesn't hear this, but we were nervous outside his house. We were actually standing on the other side of my car trying to figure out if we were dressed appropriately, and we didn't really know what to do. But once we got in there, I mean, he makes you feel at home, so it's no problem.
At the start of the new year, the Capitals are on track for a record-breaking season. The trick will be to keep their momentum. And Brooks Leik is feeling fatigue set in with the winter.
Hello, it's Brooks Leik again. Right now it is 1:51 in the morning. Our plane just landed at Dulles, and I'm in my vehicle driving to my house. And tonight, I don't know if you can tell by the tone of my voice already, but tonight's been a tough night. It's tough to go to a place and battle and play hard in a visiting rink for 59 minutes and then give up a goal with 1 minute left, and you kind of feel like you got robbed, like you put all this effort in for nothing, and it's not a fun feeling, not a feeling we're accustomed to around Washington. So thanks for listening.
One night in February, Leik is missing from his locker room stall after the game. An hour later, he emerges from the training room in a suit. He's pale and limping quite badly. The first question is an obvious one.
I did have an x-ray, yeah, and as of right now, the results are negative, which is good. You always get nervous, you know, when you're in that room, and because a crack or a break or something, it can mean 4 to 6 weeks that you can be out, and no player wants to miss any games at all. And so as of right now, the results are negative, and we're looking forward to maybe practice tomorrow and Saturday's game.
But there's no sign of Leik at practice the next morning. He never misses a practice.
Yeah, we were actually commenting on that, and that looked like it was bad, and we know Brooks is a pretty tough guy, so if he goes down, then something fairly serious. He said that was the worst one he's ever felt.
He's iffy for tomorrow. He thinks he can go, but he always thinks he can go. That's what makes him a good player.
After morning skate the next day, game day, Leik sits in his stall ripping hockey tape off his socks and pulling off his pads. His face is blank, and he's not saying much.
I don't really want to talk a lot about, you know, maybe if you want to ask me a week from now, I'll answer some more questions, but I don't really want to answer it today with a bunch of people around.
Team secrets are held more closely as the season wears on. Secrets like injuries, secrets like the playoff roster. Olsner has survived 30 games in Washington, but he knows that veterans rule the postseason. He knows Coach Boudreau will eventually come looking for him.
Normally when I think I'm going to get sent down, I'm hiding, usually in the players' lounge. And today I felt pretty good, so I decided I wasn't going to hide. I was just going to, whatever happens, happens. And then he called me. He's like, come in. I was like, okay, well, I know what's happening. And he just told me that I was getting sent down. I said, okay. And he's like, no, it's not okay. And he said it sucks and all that. And so it'll be cool, but I'm looking forward to getting another shot.
Brooks Leik says the battle for the Stanley Cup comes down to who can go harder for longer. And every mistake on the ice counts now.
Everything is so magnified in the playoffs. Your body is tired, but your mind still has to think. You still can't cheat. You can't cut corners. So there's a lot of little individual battles that come into play, and that's why playoffs are so much fun.
The Capitals make it through the first round. Then they ride the second round, all the way to Game 6. This is a best-of-seven series, and they are down 3-2 on the road against arch rivals the Pittsburgh Penguins. So tonight's game means desperation hockey. Lack sits in the crowded visitors' locker room and chugs 8 ounces of pale pink berry-flavored energy drink from a bottle with no excuses printed on the side.
You know, it's win or go home, and nobody here wants to go home. So tonight we're going to have to play our best game of the year just to be successful.
The arena smells of spilled beer and nachos, and 17,000 Penguins fans are waving little white towels in a human blizzard of support. They exhale in disbelief when the Capitals score in overtime.
Caps in possession, Light sends it on the line, score! A deflection in front, it's instant life for Washington!
Oh, I jumped into Tom Pody's arms. He's the first guy I saw. I just grabbed him and hugged him and yelled, and you look at it, it's a bunch of, you know, hairy men jumping around like kids, and it just shows the passion that they have for the game and the enjoyment that they get out of it.
On the other side of Pennsylvania, the Hershey Bears are fighting in their own playoff series for the Calder Cup, but they're fighting without Carl Alsner. He says he didn't see what happened to him, he just felt it, a hit on the side of the head. He fell, then got right back up again because he didn't want to look hurt.
Sat there for a second and kind of felt okay, and then just, you know, when you get a picture taken really close in front of your face, and you just have that flash. So it was like that for the next 5-6 minutes on the ice, and then just kind of was a little bit lagging when I was looking side to side. I knew it probably wasn't the best thing.
Alsner has to stay off the ice until he's symptom-free and passes his fitness tests. He has no idea how long this will take. In Washington, it's time for winner-takes-all Game 7 against Pittsburgh. At the pregame press conference, reporters ask Coach Boudreau if he has a motivational speech in his back pocket.
I don't think you have to say anything. If I'm having to say something to motivate them, then they're in the wrong business. Because if you can't want to play at the pinnacle of your profession for the ultimate prize, then why are you in the game? So, I mean, I don't have to say anything. They're ready to play.
But the clock runs down on the Capitals this night. By the end of the second period, the score is 5-1 Penguins.
That's the worst feeling ever on the bench as a player. You've worked so hard for all season long, and it can all come down in a thud here in Game 7.
After a 96-game marathon of taking shots, crashing the net, making plays, blocking pucks, and bouncing back from defeat, the Capitals' dream season is over. Brooks Laik enters the silent locker room to face reporters. He steps over an empty Tylenol wrapper, folds his arms, takes a deep breath, and just can't find the words.
Not words that can be said over the radio. Disappointed, maybe, would be the best way to describe it. Just that wasn't our hockey team tonight, and it sucks to end a good year on that note. We did a lot of good things this year, but this game tonight is the way this season's going to be remembered. It's a sour note to go out on.
In Hershey, Alsner is learning that concussions demand patience. He has to force himself to do the only thing that will help him heal. Absolutely nothing. Sitting on the sofa with the TV off, nothing. All he can do is grow his beard. This is a big tradition in the postseason.
I have a beard that's kind of red, that's pretty thick, I guess. Not much of a mustache. It's just a decent playoff beard, I like to say, that I'll puff out maybe during the game to scare guys.
After a month of watching the Calder Cup playoffs in a suit, Alsner finally gets the nod to don his chocolate and white jersey. It's a gamble. He won't really know how he feels until he takes the ice.
Hi, it's just after game 3 of the final. Everything is really good with me. No problems, no headaches, no dizziness, no nothing. So I think that I'm, you know, for the most part, pretty much completely healed. Extremely tired, though, and just going to get to bed now. And I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. All right, good night.
In Washington, the fans have dispersed for the off-season. On a weekday morning, the players come back to their locker room to do exit interviews with Coach Boudreau and to pack up their shower shoes and good luck charms. Brooks Laik is still not smiling.
These days suck. You know, you got to say bye to the guys and clean out your locker. And, you know, you're obviously disappointed after the game, but now it really sets in that your season's over and you got to go home.
He is willing now to talk about that night back in February when he took a shot to the ankle.
Just above my boot and just below my, just a big enough spot for a puck to hit. I couldn't walk the next day. It turned out that my ankle was fractured.
I had it's like if you throw a baseball at a windshield and it hits a windshield and it just kind of spider webs or whatever. That was in my ankle.
Like played for 6 weeks on that fractured ankle. He didn't want to give Coach Boudreau any reason not to play him, so the ankle just didn't come up.
He doesn't need to know. I don't know. Bruce is a very smart guy, and he knows if there's a change in the schedule. And like, I was one of the first guys off the ice after every practice, and that's never been me. I love staying out after practice and playing the games with the guys. And then he'd ask me, so, you okay? What's going on? And, yeah, fine. Just don't worry about it. You know, what he doesn't know can't hurt him. That's what I say.
On a Friday night in June, on the road in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Carl Alzner and the Hershey Bears claim the club's 10th Calder Cup title.
No team in history in the American Hockey League has ever been better. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Manitoba. The Hershey Bears are the 2009 Calder Cup champions.
Back home in Hershey, a fire truck escorts the team, sirens blasting, back into town. At the rink, fans are waiting with their silver Sharpies and cameras. Alzner sits on a fold-up chair posing for pictures with everyone who asks and signing a steady stream of t-shirts and hockey sticks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How's it going?
Good. How about you?
It's going really well. Doesn't get much better, I don't think.
Good season.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Carl Alzner's rollercoaster rookie year has left him feeling at home and not quite at home on two teams, in two leagues, in two cities. Now, other rookies are nipping at his heels. He knows he'll have to bring it next season. Brooks Lack will spend the summer fishing, training, and thinking about how to come back stronger. He'll probably talk this through, as he always has, with his mother, Jane.
Brooks and I would talk quite a bit about hockey, like the game. And he could always step it up usually, but on those nights when he would falter a bit, he would say, oh, what did I do wrong? And I said, well, right now, like, you're in a stage where hockey is on the outside of your heart and it's looking in. I said, you have to get it squared around in your head so that hockey is in your heart and coming out.
Hockey Diaries, Ready to Play, was produced by Chris Nelson and Gemma Hooley. Game calls, courtesy of Joe Beninati, Craig Lachlan, Steve Colby, and John Walton. If you missed part of this episode, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can by visiting us online at soundprint.org. We have lots more information available, as well as audio and reading links. The address again is soundprint.org. Next time on Soundprint, deaf people in Australia are making a culture that is all their own. Deaf and Proud, next week on Soundprint. If you'd like to hear Soundprint on the go, order up your favorite episodes on CD. The number is 1-888-38-TAPES. Soundprint is produced by the Soundprint Media Center in association with WAMU and American University. We want your comments. We love your comments. We need your comments. Let us know what's up. The best way to get in touch is by email. The address is talkback@soundprint.org. And don't forget to plug your local station. Soundprint is production assistant Nkechi Mogekwu and audio engineer Jared Weisbrot. Our executive producer is Moira Rankin. I'm Lisa Simeone.